Good morning, church. Going to grab your attention back here. We're going to jump in. We are going to be moving really right from the beginning all the way through Scripture, so I'm not going to give you one specific verse. I am going to say this, Aiden, when we come to talking through the specific parts, you can just leave that whatever the verse is, you can just leave that up behind me just so people have something to reference as we go through. Hey, Happy New Year. It's almost there, right? A couple days. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Let me ask you this. Anybody have any goals they set this past year? About a year ago. Anybody have any goals? Yes. Okay. I see some hands. Anybody achieve those goals? Yes. Well done. I see some of the same hands. Well done. Nice work, church. We're going to be talking about having hope as we look ahead. And in our Advent series, we really focused in on hope for one of those Sundays and determined that hope is actually something that is in the future. It's something as we look ahead. How many of you are feeling, that's a dangerous word, that is, hopeful? Yeah, all right. Come on. That's good. Today, as we go through a number of touch points through Scripture, and these are most likely, if you've spent any time in church, these will have a degree of familiarity to you. As we go through these, I want you to be looking ahead to this coming year, and I want you to target some really specific areas in your life where you need hope. If we're honest, we all have areas in our lives where we actually really significantly, in some cases desperately, need hope. So I'm going to give you just a second. I'm going to give you just a moment of stillness, of quietness, to listen, to pray about where are those areas of hope for you. And so this could be anything, and I'm not going to ask you to share it out loud, but I want you to have some really, and it can be more than one, but some really specific areas that this scripture will speak into your life, and also then that it will help to shape the goals that you set for this coming year. So go ahead and just take a moment. Father, we praise you, Lord. We just make space, and we ask, Holy Spirit, would you speak and reveal the areas where we need your presence. They may be familiar, it may be a new thing. We just make space to hear from you, Lord. So I'll give you another 10 seconds just to consider. I'm going to grab your attention back here. As we talk through these various scriptures, and we'll see how far, we'll see where we get. This may be this Sunday and next Sunday as we move through. What I want to invite you, I'm just going to say this again, take the scripture and apply it into that area in your life. This is a great opportunity for you to look ahead. It's a great opportunity for you to take any areas in your life where you are feeling either dormant. This is a great opportunity for you to take places in your life where you're feeling stuck. This is a great opportunity for you to take sins that you can't seem to overcome, that you've tried again and again and again, and to bring those before God and watch as he touches, watch as he places hope in your life, watch as he restores, watch as he does miracles. Really and truly, watch as he does miracles. What was beautiful and I don't know how much to say as far as names and details go, but we had, if you saw little Natalia right up here in the front during worship, did anybody see her? Yeah. So she is a miracle in the miraculous sense of the word, right? She's this beautiful little girl who was maybe never thought to exist, and then there were complications during pregnancy, and we prayed, and Matthew has shared details about that, so I think I'm okay just to touch on it. But we're living in a day and a moment where God does miracles. The miracles aren't done. And so if you're holding a place in your life where you're going, oh, it's hopeless or it's impossible, I want you to remember Luke 1:37, with God, anything is possible. No word from God will ever fail. All right, Job 8, verse 7. Have your Bibles, go to Job 8, verse 7. Don't worry, it's going to be up on the screen as well. And this is one of Job's friends. His name is Bildad. You want to say his name with me? Bildad? Bildad. I don't know any Bildads. I have a dad. I know some Bills. And it says this in Job 8, verse 7, "Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be." It's almost like Yoda, Bildad. Prosperous will your future be? You know how he speaks that way? If you have read Job recently, I remember this last year when I read through Job, it was at the start of the year, almost a year ago. It was probably, in all the times that I've read the book of Job, one of the most challenging times ever, because it seemed like God drew my attention to all of the words, the meaningless words based on human wisdom, not based on God's wisdom. And really, it's not until the very end where God lays everything bare that everything comes into this resolve, if I can use a musical term, where everything all of a sudden, oh, okay, my heart can rest. And this is actually one of those scriptures, because it's Bildad, it's they're speaking from a human understanding. They're casting all this judgment on Job, and there's moments of hope, and this is a moment of hope. Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. And the point that we need to take from it is that God can take what seems small, and he can make it amazing. And when you're in the midst of the story, when you're in the challenge of the story, when you've had anything or everything of value taken from you, you can lose hope. Jesus gives an allusion to this when he talks about the mustard seed, and he says, with faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Our goal isn't to have small, tiny faith, but it is that even small faith can accomplish amazing things. How much more can greater faith accomplish? And so whatever situation you're looking at, your beginnings may seem humble, but with Jesus, you have that hope of amazing, of prosperity beyond your wildest dreams. The second is found in Exodus 12, verse 2. Turn to Exodus 12, verse 2. This does have a reference to where we are starting, although it's a different month. The scripture says this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Now, it's talking about the Hebrew first month, which was called Abib, and then eventually became Nisan. And our which we get from our Roman system and the Gregorian tie-in would be roughly March or April is when they're talking about this month. And what it is it's this commemorating of Exodus. It's this remembering of God grabbing his people who cried out to him. Grabbing them and removing from their place of slavery and bondage and moving them into, or at least towards, the promised land. Now, the first thing was this consistent crying out, this consistent coming before God. And what I want to say to you is whatever place in your life that you are feeling hopeless, take the example of the Israelites here and cry out to God and cry out to God and don't stop crying out to God. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep crying out to God. He's a good dad. He hears you. He wants the best for you. Don't become complacent. Don't replace your crying out with other things of the world. You can fill in whatever that thing that you constantly go to distract yourself with that. Continue to cry out. Continue to come back. Let this first month of our year be an anchoring point for moving ahead. Really, the Passover became this place that the Hebrews would constantly remember. They would constantly remember God's goodness, his faithfulness, what he provided. And in Luke 22, Jesus gives this clear understanding that the Passover and all of the elements of the Passover were all about him, that he is the one who picks you up and pulls you out. He is the one that gives you access to your promised land. Third scripture is Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. This is one of the promises of Scripture. This is one of the habits that we're called to form. It's been a number of years since I really intentionally laid out and went through chapter by chapter, book by book, Scripture. And this last year has been a really rewarding space. That was one of my objects, one of my goals. And if you're connected with me in a couple of different places, then you received the invitations into that as well. And so one of the things I want to challenge you with is if Scripture intake isn't part of your rhythm in a really consistent sense, you're missing out. And here's why you're missing out. Let's just read this again, because it's pretty clear, pretty straightforward. Let's go back to verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So it's saying, watch where you're spending your time, watch where you're focusing, watch what you're doing. It makes a difference. But whose delight, this person's delight, is in the law of the Lord, the law which we understand as God's word, as Scripture. And we also know that Jesus is the word, right? So it's not only Scripture, but it's actually resting in Jesus. It's turning our lives to Jesus, where we receive the fullness of God's Spirit in us. And it's a place of coming to delight in it. I think some years ago, there was almost a religious sense where I would engage in it, and I had to do it, And it was different this last year in such a beautiful, rich way. There was a delight. And there were moments where you're disciplining yourself. It's like anything that you have to discipline yourself, right? The way you eat, going to the gym, waking up, whatever it is. That's not always easy, but when you get that rhythm, it's good, isn't it? And it shifted. It shifted into this place of delight where I was anticipating. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit. Here's the promise. When you meditate on it, it yields fruit. In season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. There's so many things that we can understand and pull from this. We can understand that fruit comes in its season. And at least until we get to heaven, where fruiting is the all the time season, there are moments in these seasons of dormancy, moments where we're waiting for the fruit to come, moments where we're seeing blossoming, moments where we're seeing the passing away of whatever season it is. But fruit comes in its season. The promise is whatever they do prospers. The dependence of that promise is that we fix our minds, our hearts on Jesus. And so if you want hope, keep coming back to Scripture. Keep filling your cup from that place. Keep setting your heart, your minds on Jesus. So I would encourage you, this would be a really good year for you to choose a Scripture reading plan to really invest in it. There's so many different ways you can do that. You could do just the New Testament. You could do all of Scripture. You could do just the poetic books. So many different ways. You want to find hope? That's where you find hope. Isaiah 43, verse 19. And so we've got these Israelites who are in this place of exile. They've turned their heart from God, and as a result of that, they've been pushed out, they've been exiled. But there's this promise here from Isaiah 43, verse 19. Do you want to throw that up there? Perfect. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. All of this pointed towards Jesus. It pointed towards the promise of the true Messiah. Sometimes, though, our lives feel like wilderness and wasteland, right? And here's the reminder. We're not living in this place waiting for the victory. Jesus is the victory. He's given us the victory. He's brought the river of life to us. He's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. When you find yourself in that place of desperation, of wilderness, point yourself back to Jesus. Actually, point yourself, reorient. Not just lip service, not just a moment, but actually your life devoted and dedicated. We're going to skip ahead a few. We're going to go to Galatians 6, verse 9. I'm going to read from verse 7, and then when I get to 9, go ahead and throw that up there, Aiden. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What a great reminder. What you put your energy into is where you will eat from, where you will get your joy from, or your absence of joy from. Which means that if you are only focused on pleasing your flesh or only focused on the things of this world, you are going to wind up empty. You're going to wind up in a place of hopelessness. But when you go after the things of God, the true things of God, when you live from that place, knowing that your life only has order, has direction, when you abide in Jesus, when you live from that place, the promise is you will reap a harvest that leads to eternal life. The blessing is in this moment because you have the joy, because God is a good God, because He wants to give you everything that you need. But it's a promise of everything that is coming. Let me read that one more time. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We reap what we sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Often it's easier to give up, to go your own way. Do not give up. Often it's easier just to please your flesh, just to give in to whatever you want, to give in to that thing that you know in the moment will make you feel good, but it's just for a moment. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. So I want you to picture in your mind this place that you have in your life that is hopeless. And I want you to identify that as the old. That's the old, whatever that place is, whatever that place of fruitlessness, whatever that place of being trapped, whatever that place, that sin that you can't stop doing, whatever that habit is that you can't seem to break, that's the old, the new is here. And I want you to, so picture this, I want you to say that the last part of the line, the old is gone, the new is here. As you're saying the old is gone, I want you to understand, to see God moving in that place and pushing the old out. You ready? Okay, say that with me. The old has gone, the new is here. I felt like I could hear myself way more than you guys. This is something that's so significant. If you haven't seen recently the miracles of God, if you haven't actually experienced victory recently, it's easy to say it the way that we just said it. The old is gone, the new is here. Right? Is there anybody who's experienced some miracles in this last year? Anybody who's had a taste or a touch? Okay, if your hand's up or it has been up, okay, I'm actually going to invite, if you've experienced it, I want you to stand. If you've experienced it, okay? Now, not everybody has to stand. If you haven't seen it, just hold your place right now. You're going to get a chance to stand. You who are standing, I want you to say it. I want you to say it with the life that comes from experience God's hand on your life. All righty? Here we go. The old is gone. The new is here. Oh, man. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Now, it's not just that I was encouraged by the volume, that's encouraging, but I sense God's presence as we declare his victory in our lives, right? Now, is there anybody here who wants miracles in their lives over those places of hopelessness? If that's you, I'm going to invite you to stand. All right, that's a lot of people standing. Now, here's the other thing, is you're standing for yourself, but you're also standing for those who aren't standing. We're a body, we work together, we come alongside those. There are so many people who need the goodness of God, so many people who are only one step away from that miracle, that encounter, and all it takes is a turning towards Him. Ready? Let's say this together. The old has gone, the new is here. Thank you, Lord. We're going to move into ministry time right now. I'm going to invite Jody up. I'm just going to invite you to remain standing. If we can have our ministry teams, if you can make your way up into the front here. If you are saying, I hear you, Joel, but you don't know my place of hopelessness or my place of wilderness, that may be. I may not know it, but God does. And I know that God can do anything. Whether it's a relationship rift, whether it's you've been carrying a sickness or an illness, like the man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, whether it's a darkness that plagues your mind and your thoughts, with God, anything is possible. His hope is here. His hope is here. And so as we sing, I just want to invite you into a place of open hands, of really grabbing on to this truth that the old is gone and the new is here. This isn't the part that we're waiting to get to heaven for. The new is here because Jesus has already come. And as much as we surrender our lives, as much as we come before Him, as much as we abide in Him, as much as we meditate on Him, really is as much as we access the newness. He's done everything to give us the newness. He's made a way. He sent His Son. For us now, it comes to a place of surrender, of trust, of faith. And so, Father, we praise you, Lord. We bring our lives before you, and we just ask, Lord, that you would breathe on them. Breathe new life into them, Lord. Your breath created life in Adam. Your breath, it says in John 20, when you breathed on your disciples. You made them new. They were reborn. Lord, breathe on our lives. Thank you, Lord. So just going to invite our ministry teams, if we can have a prayer team, and our communion team. Don't hesitate. If there's something that you're carrying that feels like it's been too long or too much, don't hesitate. Come forward so that we can come alongside.